Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in. Election Day 2021. And wherever you are across this great nation, I hope that you are going out and exercising your franchise. Many of us, I imagine, who listen to this show, certainly Buck and I, will be kicking back tonight. Put our feet up, watch the results come in. Buck, how do you watch the results come in on election night? Like, what's your preferred? I know this is not the midterms, it's not the presidential election. It's a little bit different. But what's your preferred way to watch election results come in? Do you look at the phone? Do you have a particular website that you refresh? Like, what's your play?
I mean, I generally kick back in my Tommy John loungewear while finishing the paperwork on my American Financing mortgage. And then I take a moment to pull the weighted blanket from my pillow. I'll have Fox News on. Although I will say on election night, and this is a pro tip for everybody, it's a fun thing to do for those of you out there. If you can have a sense of humor about it, if it's going to make you fly into a rage, obviously don't do
it.
But as the results come in, especially, let's say, if Youngkin is doing really well, flip to CNN and MSNBC just to see, like, the blood drain from their faces as they face the prospect of a sad night. And then watching the hysterical political analysis. If Youngkin wins, this one I can't guarantee the same way I could the last prediction about how they'll say challenging elections is patriotic if they challenge the election. That's for sure.
Yes.
But if Youngkin does end up winning, Clay, they're going to say that this was somehow like a win for the insurrection and white nationalists. That there will be people on major news networks saying that, like lunatics.
Yes. And they will say, well, this further solidifies Donald Trump's stronghold of the Republican Party. That will be an argument, because they will immediately try to Trumpify whatever election results come out in 2021. And honestly, to me, what is fascinating about the Youngkin campaign, and you tell me if you agree with this analysis, Youngkin has managed to both simultaneously get the Trump voters motivated to come out and support him without having to pledge undying loyalty to Donald Trump. And so what I mean by that is people want to know that you're in the Trump camp, but they also want you to be independent in some way. Does that make sense? Because when it's a statewide election, the governor is ultimately the chief executive of the state, understanding, hey, I'm a Trump supporter. I think Trump should have won in 2020. That's where both of us are. But then Glenn Youngkin, as the governor, has been able to take the next step, which is, I support Trump, but I'm going to be the governor of Virginia. And that's different than being a representative or a senator, where you're, you know, theoretically trying to execute the Trump agenda, as it were.
Going back to political basics, what do people care about who will be your constituents? What are the challenges they face? Why are they upset about schools? What do they think about where the economy is right now? What do they think about, you know, the issues that actually are mobilizing people in Virginia right now on Youngkin's behalf? The reason he's doing so much better than people thought, I mean, if you look at the polls, it's just been, you know, the delta he's hit is just in the last few weeks. Before that, I mean, the beginning, as he said, he had like a 2% name recognition, which was basically a 0% name recognition in the state of Virginia. The guy's a total unknown. And politically, he was the CEO of the Carlyle Group, which is no small thing. I'll point that out. And he's apparently 6'7", by the way. He played basketball
at Rice, is my understanding.
Yeah. I mean, he's a guy who could probably dunk. I'm just going to say it. And I don't know if he still can, but we could ask him. And Clay, here he is pointing out, for example, that this race is a rallying cry for the GOP.
Last night we had a rally in Loudoun County. I think all of Loudoun County was there last night, because this is where the real issues around education and parents' rights to be engaged in their kids' lives have become the real rallying cry across Virginia. And it's no longer Republicans against Democrats. It's parents from all political perspectives, from all walks of life, coming together and standing up for their children. And that's why I expect us to do well in Northern Virginia. I expect us to do well in Southwest Virginia. I expect us to do well in Richmond and well in Hampton Roads. And I think we're going to see a big day.
Clay, that's real issues, the secret sauce. That's what we're seeing here.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt. And ultimately, what this is about, I believe that 2020 was a mirage. And let me explain what I mean by the thesis 2020 was a mirage. Democrats dragged Joe Biden and Kamala Harris across the finish line thanks to overwhelming changes in voting laws and the fact that COVID was going on. But for COVID, Donald Trump destroys Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And so they used COVID, what I call fear porn, to motivate their base, to terrify suburban people. And I think what has happened is a lot of those people bought into the idea that Joe Biden was going to heal the rifts that exist in America. I really do. I think a lot of suburban women in particular bought into the idea, suburban educated white voters by and large, because that's where Trump lost support. They bought into the idea, hey, Joe Biden's going to bring America back to normalcy. The problem is, in less than a year, Joe Biden has been infinitely worse than Donald Trump ever could have been. And what is happening right now is there's a great deal of buyer's remorse. And I believe many people out there are going to go back and look at the actual issues. And Buck, I pulled this because this was a Wall Street Journal NBC poll. And we talked about how underwater Biden is on a lot of different issues out there. Which party do you think will do a better job on border security? Republicans, plus 27, Buck. Which party would do a better job on inflation? Republicans, plus 24. Which party would do a better job on crime? Republicans, plus 22. On national security, Republicans, plus 21. On the economy, plus 18. And on the very broad category of just getting things done, Republicans, plus 13. That's not even getting into critical race theory or all the culture wars. These are bread and butter issues at the wheelhouse of the Republican Party.
This is playing out in Virginia and nationally. The narrative versus the reality. What you were talking about, the Biden promise of unity and healing the rifts and all that, that was narrative. That was promise. That
yes.
was just words and the propaganda machinery of the Democrat Party putting it out there in a way that when people are scared and it's COVID and, you know, all that nice happy talk and good old Grandpa Joe, right? People, enough
yes.
of them. And it, by the way, didn't have
Not
to be a lot.
By a lot.
Didn't, that's
yes.
right. Didn't have to be a lot. Enough of them bought that now you have, you know, president, you know, where's my pants? Get me a blanket. I mean, you know, this is the guy who's running the country because of that narrative. But even in Virginia, you've got Terry McAuliffe, and you can tell this guy, it's just the old talking points, the old Democrat talking points. Oh, there's all this racism in Republicans. Oh, and he's putting Randy Weingarten, who is been worse for children and schools than
Maybe
anyone
than
else
any
in the
official
pandemic.
Of all time.
The single most ruthless, selfish for adults at the expense of children bureaucrat in living memory. I mean, I can't think of anybody else. He puts her forward at the very closing moment of his campaign because he's relying on the Democrat apparatus and the narrative that it brings. Glenn Youngkin is saying, what can I do? What can we do to make things better? He
yes.
was talking last night, Clay, at his rally about making the DMV a better experience, which
yes.
I know might sound at people like, oh, how does that poll or test? That's the kind of
well,
stuff.
Well, what anybody who's ever
right.
stood in line at the DMV,
True.
It polls well.
Right. But I mean, that's, you know, that's
yeah.
not the kind of sexy soundbite stuff you're going to see clipped all over cable news. But this is actually why we elect people, to make things that they have to run. They should do less than they do a lot of times. But the aspects of government they have to run to do it well and to, if they are going to tackle a problem, to fix it. What problems has Terry McAuliffe tackled? And more to the point, what problems has the Biden administration tackled when in reality we already see, again, narrative versus reality, they have made everything worse. Everything's actually gotten worse.
And this has to do with the toxicity, I would say, of the Democratic brand overall, which effectively boils down to everything is racist. Because the Democratic Party is so desperate to get black turnout that the only thing they go to, Buck, is everything is racist. That's Terry McAuliffe's closing argument is, everything Republicans are trying to do is racist. And this is significant because, one, the country is becoming more diverse. So just going after black voters doesn't work. And I think this is why we saw Hispanic and Asian voters break for Trump in 20 and also Hispanic, also black voters. But I think you're starting to see a recognition, a dawning of an anti-woke culture among black, Hispanic, and Asian people for a variety of different reasons, where that the Republican Party is racist accusation doesn't motivate voters like it used to, and Terry McAuliffe is still trying to play the same old hits that have worked historically, and they just don't motivate the same way.
One of the things that Trump brought to the table that really was motivating in the early days of the 2016 campaign for him, and even among other Republicans set him apart, was he would speak about politically correct insanity, basically.
Yes.
And he would punch it right in the nose, so to speak. He would actually take that on. Really, wokeness is a kind of cult.
Yes.
And it can
totally
bring people a sense of community belonging and safety within the cult, right? I mean, of course, there are all these costs that are being borne by those who are joining this thing, right? This is the same that it actually is with cults. I've read up on some, studied some. I find them kind of fascinating. I actually mostly just watch documentaries about them, but same idea. And what you see here is that now people who are inside the woke cult realize, oh, they're going to come, like, it's just a matter of time before they ruin me too. And I'm also giving up a lot to be here. I'm giving up freedom and creativity and decency and humanity. I'm giving up all of these things to be a part of this left-wing ideological echo chamber that is pulling America apart and that is just ugly and destructive. I mean, when you see the fact that there aren't more celebrities, you know, I want to keep talking about this. I know it's in the sports realm, but the fact that the Colin Kaepernick Netflix special, where he's explicitly comparing the NFL combine to a slave auction, I mean, that is the ugliest kind of racial demagoguery you could come across anywhere in contemporary America right now.
Yes.
And this is from Netflix. And the fact that people aren't just appalled and that it doesn't show everybody what a fraud this guy is. What a preposterous, I wouldn't want to say joke, but a real
bad, genuinely
negative,
bad dude.
Bad dude. A negative for the country. And this is where we are. And people in Virginia are saying, you know, they keep getting told, Clay, oh, they're not teaching CRT, poisonous racial demagoguery, to our kids. And then people, hat tip Chris Rufo for really being a leader of the Truth Brigade here, hat tip to him. They keep finding the teaching materials, and that's exactly what they're teaching kids. So yeah, parents are going to get upset about that. They are.
And it's not just white parents, because they're going to try to say, oh, this is a white lash. Oh, this is racism. Oh, this is what happens. You know, it's white, black, Asian, and Hispanic parents. And this is, to me, the integral argument that has to be made here is everyone with a functional brain hates politically correct culture. No one wants to get fired because of a Facebook post that they put up or a Twitter poll or whatever they might put out. And even more so, Buck, no one wants to be their kids judged by these mobs, right? You don't want 14 and 15 year old kids in a position where suddenly they say something on social media. And I just got a good email. Heard your comment about the mom brigade. I grew up in the South, and there's a saying that a lot of people out there are going to know. You don't get between a mama bear and her cubs. It sure looks like the Democrats have pitched camp squarely between the nation's mama bears and their cubs. All I'll say is duck suckers. And I think that could be the underlying premise of what's happening in Virginia right now. The Democratic Party and Terry McAuliffe has found itself between the mama bear and her cubs, and that ain't a safe place to be, and I think they're going to get whipped because of it.
Speaking of political correctness and a lack of a sense of humor, Clay, I want to bring us back here in a second to the opposition. The opposition to Let's Go Brandon is now is actually becoming my favorite part. I love the general spirit of the chant, but now the freak out in response to it. We got to dive into some of this. We come back. It's amazing. It's about the children. You can't say this in front of children. Mike Lindell, folks, he's the inventor of MyPillow. I was just talking before about how I do just chill out all day and go to sleep at night on MyPillow products. I walk around the My Slippers, which are amazing. I've got Giza Dream sheets on my bed. The My Towels, if you've never used them before, they are very soft, but also really absorbent, and they last. A lot of towels become just kind of thin, and it's almost like, you know, sandpaper after a while. These are incredible towels. They have so many great products. The Giza Dream sheets, though, that's really the entry point for me, for a lot of folks out there. Clay, I tell people, get them. They're ultra soft and breathable. Once you know how good the Giza Dream sheets are, I feel like the other products people want to try, too, because I know how good they are.
Oh, I love being home to be able to crawl. You know that feeling when you've been on the road a lot and you get to crawl back into your bed and you got all the sheets and all the comforters and all the pillows that you've gotten used to? For a limited time right now, you can get the Giza Dream Sheets. Buy one, get one free with the promo code Clay and Buck. All MyPillow products, 60-day money-back guarantee. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener specials to get the Giza Dream Sheets. Buy one, get one free with code Clay and Buck, or you can call 800-792-3269. Deep discounts on all MyPillow products, but get hooked up today. Giza Dream Sheets, buy one, get one free with the code Clay and Buck, 800-792-3269. Welcome back in, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. Buck, theory for you. You were talking about wokeness being a religion. I think wokeness...
A cult, actually. But
yeah, cult is a good analogy, too. It rots the brain. And if you embrace wokeness too much, you end up losing touch with all reality. And I think that's what's happened with Colin Kaepernick. We played a clip, was it yesterday?
Yes.
I think of Colin Kaepernick saying the NFL was the equivalent of slavery, the NFL combine, because they, you know, you get your picture taken with your shirt off and they figure out how much you can bench press. And there's a lot of, not surprisingly, physical details embodied in being a football player. And he's got a new Netflix special. He's made tens of millions of dollars from Nike and Netflix by arguing that America is an awful place. And he's been begging for an opportunity to play in the NFL, which doesn't even make any sense because he's saying that you're a slave if you play in the NFL. So he's actually begging to be a slave again. Like, it, none of it adds up. His brain is broken. And he now is going, I couldn't believe this when I watched it. He now, Buck, is going after Carlton from The Fresh Prince and Steve Urkel from Family Matters. For those of you out there who don't remember these shows, these are like wheelhouse shows for you and me, Buck. Mm-hmm. Like, these were sitcoms that aired in the early 90s. Will Smith made him a star. He was at the time a musician, but he did The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And Family Matters was a part of, I think, TGIF, wasn't it?
It was.
Like it had the Full House like universe and everything else.
The dad was the cop from Die Hard.
That's right.
And I believe he actually was cast in that role in part because Die Hard as a cop made him such a beloved and famous character.
That's right. And his Mr. Winslow, I think, was his name, if
Carl
I'm not
Winslow.
Mistaken. Carl Winslow. That's
I watched
right.
that show all the time, by the
yes.
way. I love that show.
So lots of you out there listening to us right now probably are familiar with these two shows. Well, Carlton was the cousin of Will Smith, who was the cooler member of the cast. The premise of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was Will Smith's character grew up in a rough neighborhood in Philadelphia. He was misbehaving, so his family shipped him across the country to live in Bel-Air, California. Carlton is the son of Mr. Banks, who is, I think, a successful lawyer, I think.
He was a
I
judge. Don't he was a judge, yes.
Judge
and,
Banks,
and Will,
right.
Will Smith was West Philadelphia, born and raised,
yes,
and on a playground, I believe, he spent most of his days.
Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool. That's where Will Smith was. We could probably do the whole theme song there. What percentage of our audience do you think watched The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and or Family Matters?
20, maybe. No, it's just a generational thing, right?
Yes.
I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, you have to be somebody who was like an early teen, mid-teen in the 90s. So,
yes.
You know,
or
I'd
had
say 20
kids,
to 20 to 30.
Because that's still when people would sit around and watch television together, right? Like you had family television
I bet
viewing.
Urkel, the character played by Jaleel White.
That's right.
Urkel became almost more of a cultural phenomenon. People
yes.
know Carlton pretty well, too. Obviously, Will Smith became one of the biggest movie stars, period.
Of all time.
Also,
yeah.
one of the biggest African-American movie stars, you know, of all time. But the whole Urkel character became a thing that people knew who didn't even know the show.
Yes.
You know, they just, oh, yeah, he's like Urkel. He was kind of the ultimate lovable nerd. I mean, I was a big Urkel fan, for whatever it's worth.
Yes. All right, so Colin Kaepernick, furious at the popularity of Carlton on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Steve Urkel. This is a Netflix documentary. By the way, everybody was up in arms over the Dave Chappelle comedy special. The amount of stupidity and idiocy that has been distributed already in this Colin Kaepernick show, which almost no one in the woke universe cares about at all. Just listen to this as Colin Kaepernick takes aim with 1990s TV sitcom characters and their roles.
Oh. It was quite a preamble. I think we got it.
Over the years, there have been some very popular TV shows starring black people. These shows share archetypal black characters, including social outcasts who assimilate or conform, like Carlton Banks and Steve Urkel. White people love these dudes. Everything from the way they dress, way they talk, even the way they dance. It's also non-threatening. These characters have come to be known by the term acceptable Negro. The acceptable Negro is a black character who inhabits white characteristics, who makes white people feel comfortable. The acceptable Negro is a white man's creation. Thing is, white people don't get to decide who's acceptable to us.
So Colin Kaepernick, is his analysis is idiotic, and you and
yes.
I are obviously going to explain why on multiple levels. But for one thing, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Will Smith, is not the, I mean, he's basically saying that the Urkel character and Carlton have white characteristics, and therefore that's what's, those are side characters in those shows. The lead character that is beloved, that turned him into a superstar in The Fresh Prince, is Will Smith, who is a rapper, young aspiring black guy who's making his way in America. He doesn't have these characteristics. Why is he going after Urkel and Carlton? Doesn't make any sense. And Urkel's a secondary character as well. He perhaps the most famous on that show, to be fair. But the primary character is Carl Winslow, who's, you know, a lovable black dad of a family that they're all together. And, you know, it's just, I mean, it's a little bit of similar to the Cosby Show at some level, except it's not a doctor, right? What is he even talking? I mean, what Colin Kaepernick's saying doesn't even make sense in the context of the shows he's picking out.
Not only that, it presumes that Carlton and Steve Urkel weren't also wildly popular in the black community, which they were.
Yes, yes.
And still are. It is so mind-numbingly stupid what he is putting out there. It's like Mad Libs from critical race theory that hasn't even been fully analyzed by critical race theorists. And let's remember, Colin Kaepernick is half white and was raised by a white family. How is he trying to become some sort of wild revolutionary and deciding what is and what is not acceptable for black people? First of all, I reject the premise of the idea that anything is acceptable or unacceptable based on race, right? Of an overall group. Because what should be is individuals, white, black, Asian, Hispanic, decide what they like for better or worse and consume it, right? The idea that an entire culture finds something acceptable or unacceptable is crazy. But Carlton helped to make The Fresh Prince a really popular show, as did Steve Urkel. I went to school with a ton of kids of all races who loved both those shows. And what it represented was entertainment and a wide variety. Almost all of the stars were black on those shows. And it had a wide variety of different black perspectives, a nerd, an awkward son, like are reflected in all families. And so this stupidity from Colin Kaepernick, I don't even know, Buck, if there's anybody still left out there defending him. Because when I used to attack Colin Kaepernick's arguments and say, look, this guy is not a good voice for anything in the world, there would be a lot of blue check brigade members who would say, what are you talking about, Clay Travis? You're racist. How dare you? No, this guy's an imbecile. And the fact that anyone ever considered him to be a voice for anything other than dividing and destroying this country is a fundamental failure of everyone who ever worked in sports media.
The whole Kaepernick phenomenon is a scam. And yes. I would even go beyond that. Do you know Jack Brewer? He's an NFL player. He's an NFL captain.
Yeah.
I talked to him yesterday. And I interviewed him and talked to him about this subject. And he said, you have to remember that while a lot of folks will hear this and they'll hear you and me talking about this, they'll say, well, of course, of course, the comparison of a slave auction to the NFL combine is intellectually indefensible and,
yes,
and morally reprehensible. Right. I mean, of course, that's true. But Jack, who is an African-American a former NFL player himself, said, look, a lot of young black guys are going to hear this. They're going to hear Kaepernick, and they're actually going to take it to heart. And it will create a bitterness and a resentment and a misunderstanding of the society around them and issues that they will then play. He's like, so Jack Brewer is telling me, even though a lot of folks maybe can see Kaepernick for who he really is now, he still has a constituency and it's damaging. He is pouring poison in the ears and showing people things on screen that are detrimental to them. These are lies he is peddling. These are reprehensible things that he is trying to push on particularly on young minds, and it's just really troubling. The media's embrace of Kaepernick, though, has always been disgusting, by the way, because he was anti-cop for his own purposes. That's what actually it was. Every cop listening to this knows. He played this game of, oh, it's about systemic.
He said cops are modern-day slave catchers,
yeah.
Buck.
He said, oh, it's about systemic. No. That's what they always say, something that's just too stupid. The leftists, the, you know, anti-cop left, they always say something that's too stupid, and then they try to do this, oh, it's about systemic, they start muttering something about, balancing historical injustice, and then they go, oh, okay, no, sorry. anti-cop. All right, Clay and I obviously both get fired up about this. We do have Governor Ron DeSantis joining us, 2:05 Eastern. We're excited about that, so stick around. Pets bring us an incredible amount of joy, as you know. The unconditional love from a cat or a dog is amazing. I've been sick recently. Tallulah has been my nurse. We want to give the same back to those family members, those furry family members, and one way is to make sure they stay as healthy as possible. And when it comes to feeding your dog, there's a lot you can do. If you're feeding your dog one of the all-dry dog foods, do something extra. That food has to be able to sit on a shipping crate or in a warehouse for up to 2 to 3 years. To accomplish this all-dry dog food, that kibble uses a sterilization process that kills anything that could be alive and good in your pet's food. I'm talking about those microorganisms and probiotics, enzymes, vitamins, omega oils, all that healthy microbacteria out there that's so good for your dog. You need to add it back in. That's where Rough Greens comes in. Rough Greens is something that you add in. It's a healthy supplement you put into your existing dog food. Don't change the dog food. Your dog likes it. Great. Add Rough Greens in. It'll help with their health and overall well-being. The folks at Rough Greens are so confident your dog is going to love it. They have a special deal for you. Go to roughgreens.com/EIB. That's R-U-F-F, roughgreens.com/EIB. They're going to give you the first bag free. All you pay is shipping. That's roughgreens.com/EIB. Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We have coming up in just a few minutes, first time actually on this show as our guest. We're excited to talk to him, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. We have so much to talk about with him. You all know, if you listen to this show, Florida often comes up, and it's the place, other than New York City, where I've spent the most time in the last couple of years over the course of the pandemic. There is that feeling of arriving if you're in a lockdown blue state or a state that has been gone mad with COVID mania, vaccine mandates. So California, New York, New Jersey, you go down to Florida and you go, oh, wow, it's weird. People are like living their lives here. It's really fun. I mean, you go down and you say, oh, my gosh, it's not perfect. Miami still has some mask mandates, although I think maybe they've gotten rid of those. I haven't been down in a little while, but we'll talk to him in a moment. I got it for a second here because I'm not letting it go with all the climate change stuff, Clay.
I just pretend it doesn't exist.
This is the thing. I want to do the same thing. Like, I want to just completely act like these are people. They're crazy. You know, they're like the cults, again, cults in Parks and Recreation, the reasonableists who believe the world's going to end every year. And every year at the last second, they're like, no, the special alien communication device tells us next year the world will end. And like, this is what they do. Like, they gather together and it's like they have a party for the end of the world. That's a little bit like the climate change people, except they want to ruin the global economy and run your life and harass you endlessly, right? So I don't want to do the unilateral surrender thing of letting them just be crazy because, I mean, Joe Biden's involved in this stuff, folks.
Yes.
Jeff Bezos is showing up in his private jet. Leo DiCaprio did fly commercial. A lot of press on that one. Gee, Leo. But here is, if you want to get a sense of this stuff, Greta Thunberg, who is a Thunberg in my side. She is constantly annoying me. She is out there saying stuff like, hold on a second, like this.
We say no more blah, blah, blah. No more exploitation of people and nature and the planet. No more exploitation. No more blah, blah, blah. No more whatever the f*** they're doing inside there. We're sick and tired of it, and we're going to make the change, whether they like it or not.
Okay, I just want to be clear here, Clay. She's at this Glasgow, you know, COP 26 or whatever, because Conference of Parties, that's what COP stands for. This big climate change thing. They're going to regulate methane now, which is cow farts, as well as other things. And I believe that she could come out. I mean, she kind of did a little bit there. She's an 18-year-old, knows nothing. And adults cheer for her and think she's saving the world. She could come out and just go, blah, 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 blah. I mean, literally do that. And people would think that she was a genius because she is a little child god to them. It doesn't matter what she says. She is the climate change idol that they are worshiping. It is absurd.
It's funny also that she's angry at all the people at the climate change conference. Like, she isn't even being in any way endorsed by them, right? Like, she's going after them, which is why I think the whole thing is just absurd. It's a little bit like the woke culture. You aren't in favor of climate change being addressed ever enough. Right? There's no moderation when you are an absolutist. These people have bought into the idea that the world is going to end as we know it in like the next decade because of climate change. I think they're wrong, and I'm pretty comfortable they're wrong. I mean, I'm building a place on the beach. If I thought in my lifetime that I wasn't going to be able to have be able to go to the beach, I wouldn't be building a house there.
Narrative versus reality.
It's just crazy.
Clay, when these rich libs will offer me I'd even take a 50% discount on one of their beachfront, you know, in Malibu,
yes,
for example, which is unfortunately totally Democrat dominated. It's one of the more beautiful places in America, though. Just saying. There are people houses right on the beach.
Yes.
And they get really close to the water. When they want to give me a 50% discount and sell me their, you know, however many millions of dollars a beach house at 50% off, then I'll believe they're serious about climate change.
These are fairly smart people spending a lot of money on beachfront homes, all of whom are telling you that climate change is going to destroy the world, yet not actually making the change in their own life that would reflect they truly believe that's serious. Because if they did, they wouldn't be spending $20 million on beachfront mansions in Malibu.
You know what's also really fun is when they at these conferences, there's inevitably this moment when they realize, because someone will come forward and say, hey guys, hold on a second. Even if we do all these, because it's always about, you know, these countries pledging. We pledge to, the pledge isn't worth squat. We all know that.
Right.
But we pledge to do all this emission. And they're all sitting there worshiping little Greta. She's going, blah, 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 F-bomb, blah, blah. Like this is somehow intelligent.
Yes.
Even if they do all the things they say they're going to do, without China's acquiescence entirely, and without India going on board entirely, we're going to hit all these numbers they say brings about the extinction of humanity no matter what.
Yes.
So what are we even doing? It doesn't make any sense.
None of it makes any sense.
It's a globalist religion for people who think they're too smart for religion. It's the whole thing is absurd, and I don't know what else to say about it. But, you know, speaking of, I got no transition there. Why don't you tell them what's up next?
You're still fired up.
I flopped on the transition.
We got Ron DeSantis, who has a lot of beachfront property all over the state of Florida.
Ooh.
And he's got a lot of beachfront property in the minds of the insanely woke and the Fauciites. We'll find out from him what's going on with the numbers in the state of Florida and why it was so important for him to fight back against mask mandates and also vaccine mandates. That is what you call
a great
transition.
Travis picking up the fumble and high-stepping it into the end zone. Well done, sir.
Ron DeSantis, next!
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Welcome to the third hour of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck in NYC, Clay out in Nashville, Tennessee. And as promised, we have with us right now the governor of Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis. So, Governor, thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
We've got so many things to ask you. We'll just jump right in with the special session, Governor, because I'm here in New York, and we are in the midst of a showdown between New York City government and public sector workers, NYPD and FDNY, most notably fire and police, who don't want to get the shot. Now, that's public sector, but there's also obviously private sector mandates going into effect. You in Florida are calling together a special legislative session coming up here. What do you hope to accomplish, and why are you doing this?
In Florida, we want you to be able to work and earn a living without regards to these jabs. This jab should not condition whether or not you're able to continue with employment. I think it's a personal decision. And certainly for the public sector workers like cops and firefighters who've been out for the whole time in COVID, exposing themselves if need be. Most of them have had COVID and recovered by now. But even with the private sector employees, it's very, very important that they be given these protections as well. Look, I'm not a mandate guy generally, but this vaccine is not preventing transmission, or it's not preventing infection. The benefit has been on reducing severity, which is great. But the idea that you're going to mandate this and that's going to make a big difference in terms of this is just not accurate. So it's anti-science. They don't recognize natural immunity. They don't honor the traditional religious exemptions that most people have been honoring with other vaccines. And so we need to make sure people are able to keep their jobs. And so we're going to look to protect both private and public sector workers.
Governor DeSantis, this is Clay. First of all, thanks for everything that you've done, because Buck and I, as you know, have wanted to pull our hair out as we have seen so many idiot politicians making idiot choice after idiot choice. And what you guys have done and been so revolutionary is just look at the data and make rational choices. And I want to share, I'm sure you've got way better access to data than I do, but I'm looking right now at the New York Times database for overall COVID infection rates. You have in the state of Florida the absolute lowest COVID rate of infection anywhere in the country. States like California that have been praised throughout the heavens, nearly triple the rate that you have. New York, way higher, over double the rate that you have. There's been almost no media coverage of the declining number of cases in Florida, despite no mask mandate, no COVID vaccine mandate. How unfair is that to the American public, the way that the media has covered your state and your administration?
Well, I think that's what's to be expected. I mean, we have a very partisan, fact-free corporate press in this country. And when Donald Trump was president, every single COVID infection was his fault. Since Biden has taken over, they say that they never blame Biden. They never hold him accountable for anything, even though he campaigned saying he would actually shut down the virus. So that's what they're going to do. They use it to attack their political opponents, and then they're silent when you do see outbreaks in parts of the country where they like the politicians. But I think most people see through this by now. I think that they understand that this is something that follows a regional and seasonal pattern. The South has more of a summer season, so now we're on the back end of that. Other places will have peaks in the north in the winter. So the question is, are you going to destroy your society to try to, quote, stop something that these restrictions are not going to stop? And so our view is you protect people's right to work, their freedoms, people's businesses, and then do whatever you can to help folks with COVID. And we did what we found in the summer was people didn't have access, or they didn't know about the early treatment, even though there's early treatment available. So we launched a bunch of monoclonal antibody sites, raised awareness, and that helped contribute to a stunning collapse in our hospital census. I think we're on like day 70 straight days with a declining hospital census, and people were able to get this, and it basically helped them get over it. And so we've just tried to take a science-based approach, but certainly we have jettisoned a fear-based approach, and we do not govern based on hysteria.
We're speaking to Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida. Governor, it's Buck. I want to ask you about the law enforcement issue, if I can, which ties into COVID, obviously. You have right now thousands of NYPD officers on unpaid leave here in New York. Similar situation played out. We have people listening all across the country in their cities where career law enforcement officers lost their jobs. You got some attention for your state recently there was attention on your state for this $5,000 signing bonus that's supposed to be, I believe, appropriated and then next year could be paid. But what is Florida doing? What has it been doing to recruit law enforcement officers who are dissatisfied for a number of reasons with how they're being treated for political reasons across the country? And also, what has Florida been doing overall to try to turn the trend in the other direction for what has been a national crime wave over the last 18 months?
Well, first of all, summer of 2020, BLM Antifa riots, I called out the National Guard. I backed law enforcement 100%. I never bought in to the anti-law enforcement nonsense. And so people knew in Florida that I had their back, and they appreciated that. But what we've seen over the last year, budgets have been slashed. The community hasn't provided support for officers in places like Seattle and Portland and Minneapolis and the whole nine yards of all these different cities. And so we think we have a historic opportunity in Florida to look around the country, see how low morale is, and say, you know what, if you come to Florida, you'll have a better quality of life, which is important, but you're going to be treated with respect. You're going to be valued here because we're a law and order state. And in order to help facilitate very experienced and talented people to relocate to Florida, we are going to be offering a $5,000 signing bonus. Now, that will apply anyone outside the state that has experience that comes and moves. It'll also actually apply to some of our young people here in Florida who choose law enforcement as a career, because I think the way these officers have been put through the ringer with the corporate press always being demonized, it's not something that as many people think is worth doing, and you can understand that. So we want to make sure that our folks who are growing up here in Florida that are talented also will consider it. So I think we're already one of the top law enforcement states. But I can tell you the chatter across this country for folks that are dissatisfied with how they're being treated. And as you said, for a number of reasons, I mean, I think it's a terrible that you'd fire a police officer over a vaccine mandate. These people have been out on the street the whole time. But there's so many other reasons why people are dissatisfied. And while morale is low, you come to Florida. Yeah, you'll get the signing bonus, and that's important. People want to be paid, but honestly, it's more important as a signal to know that Florida's got your back, and I think we're going to have number one in the country for law enforcement, and we're going to be proud of that.
We're talking to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Governor, you've seen an unbelievable number of people moving to the state of Florida. I saw a viral video of Don Lemon, who's one of your top critics, taking a vacation in Florida, which of course was ironic, not wearing a mask, mind you. What are you seeing about the people who are moving into Florida and voting with their feet effectively for the freedoms, as you've said, an oasis of freedom in the state of Florida right now?
November 2018, I got elected governor in Florida. There were 280,000 more registered Democrats than Republicans in the state of Florida. As we stand here today, that number has dwindled to about 3,000. And it very well may be right now, it takes about another week to get October's numbers. We actually very well right now may have more registered Republicans than Democrats, which would be the first time in the history of the state of Florida that that was the case. And so the pace that we're seeing is one that by next year's gubernatorial election, we could have 50, 100,000 more registered Republicans than Democrats. Which, if you would have predicted that 2-3 years ago, people would have said, "There's no way."
How excited, by the way, are you for that opportunity to run next year? You just talked about maybe having more Republican voters. How excited are you to get out on the campaign trail and be able to put your record on the line in 22?
Oh, I think it's going to be fun because when I ran in 18, a lot of people didn't know me. I was one congressman out of 27 in a state of 22 million people. Well, now people know, they know all the stuff that we've done, and it'll be fun to be able to talk more about some of the things that don't even get any press attention, which have been very, very significant. But I can tell you this, and I don't know what it's, I mean, I was governor for a year basically before COVID. We did a lot of great things. People were excited with a lot of stuff we've done. But since COVID, the personal connection you have with people, because they look to me and they say, "Thank you for saving my job. Thank you for saving my business. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have had my kids in school." All these things that are very personal to people. And I was one that was standing with them and making sure that they were protected, even when it wasn't necessarily the thing that the media wanted to do. And so I think people understand in Florida that when I say I'm going to do something, I do it. Everything I promised, I've done. I've fulfilled my campaign promises from 4 years ago or 3 years ago. And then if there's ever a time where the chips are down and you need someone to get your back, they know I'll have their back.
One last one for you, Governor. There's a big race today in Virginia between Terry McAuliffe and Glenn Youngkin, as you well know. Parents' involvement in their children's education, parents' rights more generally, at the center of that very hotly contested and nationally watched political race. What are you doing in Florida? What does it mean to be protecting the rights of parents when it comes to the schooling their kids are getting and just more broadly the involvement that they want to have in their children's lives?
Well, we believe in providing education, but they should not be subject to leftist indoctrination. And so we banned critical race theory earlier this year. We're going to do something in the next legislative session to make sure parents can enforce that, to make sure that we have a good, solid curriculum, and we're not going down the road of treating people different on the basis of race. We've also done a lot to elevate American civics, because I think it's important that people understand what this country's about. And yes, I reject the view of the Democrat candidate in Virginia and the teachers unions that say parents, you know, don't have a right to be involved in what their kids are learning. In Florida, we believe parents are at the center of that, and that covers a whole host of issues, not just things like critical race theory. I signed a Strong Parents Bill of Rights earlier this year, but we're going to do some more to strengthen it further, because ultimately parents know what's best for their kids.
Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, sir, appreciate you making the time for us. Thanks for being here.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Clay, we'll come back into that Virginia race because it is the news of the day.
Fingers crossed, Buck.
Oh,
we got to win this one.
I really hope I really hope I'm going to be cracking open a, you know, Diet Creamsicle Shasta later tonight, you know, whatever I got in the fridge, something like that. So I don't even know if they make that anymore. We'll come back to that, though, in a second. How far away is another market correction that messes with the value of your IRA account and leaves you unprotected again? Protect your IRA and your savings account by having a portion of what you've worked hard to save with gold. Buying and owning gold is easier and more convenient than ever thanks to companies like the Oxford Gold Group. Earlier this year, I bought gold from them and I had it delivered to my home. Simple as that. The security that comes from having your own gold, that feeling you have, you know, it's going to hold its value. Well, that's second to none. So if you think buying real gold is complicated, my friends at the Oxford Gold Group are who you need to call. They'll explain everything to you. You can have real gold delivered to your home or have real gold as part of your IRA. It's just a phone call away with Oxford Gold. Hope you do it for yourself this week. It's important. Call them at 833-404-GOLD and learn how you can have real gold in your IRA and delivered to your door. That's the Oxford Gold Group at 833-404-GOLD, 833-404-G-O-L-D.